Today's generals and admirals don't have the skills to address tomorrow's military challenges. And just because you're a good soldier doesn't mean you're a good office manager. Now, these are refrains that pop up year after year. And the latest proposed fix comes from the Center for New American Security. The lead author of the report is retired Lieutenant General Dave Barno, a former top commander in Afghanistan, and he joins us now to talk about the report. Good morning.
Morning, Emily. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So can you start by just take assessment of the generals we have today and what's wrong with them?
Well, I think it's probably an overstatement to say what's wrong with them, but they've been through 12 years of extraordinarily demanding conflicts in two different theaters. Since 2001, we've been fighting in Afghanistan. We still have about 50,000 troops there. That war is not over. And since 2003, we fought a very long and bloody war in Iraq alongside the one in Afghanistan. And in the general officer corps, and in many cases admirals from the Navy, have been deeply involved in this. And for the last decade, it is in some ways been their entire focus. So their ability to have broadening assignments and even have their normal educational opportunities to grow into their positions and to learn the bigger enterprise of defense has really been missing in a lot of ways.
What are some of the skills that an incoming general needs that they haven't been able to get from the combat side of the military?
Well, one thing they need is the ability to get to learn a job. And typically, we did a little bit of a look at the corporate sector and best practices over there, and we found that in the corporate environment, the top-tier leadership jobs often are held for 5, 8, 10 years for really successful leaders for company CEOs. In part because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, those have normally been one-year assignments that have not only been short tours out there in the combat zone, but have been promoted the repeat short tours back here trying to send people to fill those gaps. So we've seen the duration of assignments continue to creep down. So now, it would be uncommon, extremely uncommon for a general to have an assignment for 4 or 5 years. In the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of them be 1 and 2 year assignments, and they just haven't had the ability to really go in depth in their jobs. So that's one of our recommendations, is to make some significant changes to how long we keep successful people in their positions.
And why the downward trend? Because as you note in your report, it wasn't always the case. I mean, you have examples of people in some high-level jobs for more than 3 decades.
Well, we looked back over the last 40 or 50 years in the military, and we found, for example, Admiral Rickover, who was the head of naval reactors, really the father of the nuclear propulsion program, had his job for nearly 3 decades. But in more recent times, we also found that in the conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan, not well recognized, but one of the most successful commanders out there had his job for 5 years, and that was General Stan McChrystal, who is the commander of the Joint Special Operations Command. And as we look at the tremendous success that he had and his command had during the middle of the last decade, it had a great deal to do with him being in the job for that long a period of time. So we actually think, and that's unheard of in the combat zone, no one else was doing that kind of duty. It had an immense effect on the successful prosecution of the counterterrorist part of both of those wars.
And can you talk a little bit about the multidisciplinary skills that generals need? Because from the outside, it looks like the military probably breeds fabulous leaders in combat situations. But what sort of skills do those people need once they're advancing to the more senior ranks where they have more and more responsibility?
Well, the vast majority of people coming up through the officer ranks in the military are specialized on combat and combat-related tasks. They come in the military to parachute out of airplanes, to drive submarines, to be fighter pilots, and they spend most of the first 20 years of their career or so doing exactly that. But those that are successful enough to be promoted to what we call flag officer ranks, the 1 stars and above, at about the middle of their third decade, around 25 years of service, their world then changes dramatically. They're expected to go from being very, very proficient at a fairly narrow set of skills in some ways to being good at everything. That's what's where the term general comes from. They're a generalist. But the world they're going to inherit actually looks a lot less like the combat or combat support environment they grew up in, and looks a lot like, in many ways, like corporate business. We found that about 2/3 of the general officer positions out there, on average, have more to do with managing the enterprise, as we call it, or the corporate business of the military than they have to do with warfighting. And these combat experienced generals typically don't have those skills, haven't been grown in that arena, and they can sometimes fall short when they're put into those positions, which are the predominant positions they find as flag officers.
As I was reading the report, it came to my mind that perhaps you are somehow recommending that generals get an education akin to an MBA, if not like the actual degree, but the same sort of intense business training or administration training. Is that the type of thing that you think would benefit generals?
We think there's a lot of value at about the selection point to two-star general to put these up-and-coming generals, many of whom will be, you know, the most successful will be in uniform 8 or 10 more years, put them in one of two tracks. One track is the combat track, or what we call the operational track, and that's what many of them have done for most of their careers, and we continue to grow them and school them to be the warfighters. But the other track we call the enterprise track, and that's actually more than half of all the general officer and admiral positions out there, and those folks typically are not terribly well prepared for those jobs. And we do think something that looks like an MBA track or an education in how to run large corporate enterprises, which the Defense Department is perhaps one of the largest in the world, that they need something like that. And we also found in our study that education for generals and admirals peters out compared to what they received earlier in their career. In your first 20 years, you might get 2, 3, 4 years of in-resident education in the military. Once you become a general, you can count your educational opportunities in days or weeks. And for an additional 15 or 20 years of service, that just doesn't seem to make sense to us.
We're speaking with retired Lieutenant General Dave Barno. He's lead author of Building Better Generals from the Center for New American Security. It's officially going to be released today. Do you think that, or are you seeing signs that sequestration, overall budget problems, are cutting training back at the Defense Department for these higher-level officers?
Well, it's impacting the entire Defense Department, so we're very concerned that it's going to cut into the educational opportunities, not only for generals and admirals, but also for those up-and-coming majors and lieutenant colonels that are going to grow into these future leaders. You know, one of the things we found is that for example, and this is not always appreciated outside the military, that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the year 2050 and the chief of staff of the Air Force or chief of the Navy in the year 2050, they just graduated from Annapolis and West Point and ROTC this summer. They're going to be in the force for the next 35 years. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of 2040 is a lieutenant commander out there, and she's the XO on a submarine somewhere. And so these people are already in the force, so growing them and making sure their education gets preserved in these times of tight budgets is extraordinarily important for the future.
And as I was reading the report, I was also thinking, I know that you're focusing on building better generals, but there is also a big issue about what to do with all of these people who aren't going to stay in the military for that long, but have the combat experience and are now trying to transition to civilian life. And the government is trying to sell them very much as the ideal employee or future corporate leader, you name it. So for both groups of people, is there a better way to incorporate this type of enterprise thinking and training into the first 25 years in someone's military career?
Well, one of the things we clearly would suggest is expanding those broadening educational opportunities for officers in their first 20 years. You know, some of that's training with industry, getting out and seeing how, you know, the Googles and the Microsofts and the other, you know, non-standard commercial enterprises do it. That's not how the Defense Department does things. We can learn a lot from some of these companies that are out there on the edge doing really groundbreaking work. And the other thing we would recommend more of is looking at more opportunities for graduate education. That has diminished by probably 75% from what it was when I was a junior officer, just primarily due to budget cuts. And that's an incredible opportunity for officers to get to know, you know, their counterparts out there in the broader population by being in civilian graduate schools, and also broaden their horizons beyond just a very narrow military warfighting focus.
And bringing it back to the future generals of the military, you know, there's another conversation happening right now, has been happening for years, about the size of the flag officer corps and the fact that perhaps there are too many generals, and that needs to be whittled down. Does your report address that debate about the number of leaders that the military should have? And if so, how do you find these two things about building better generals and perhaps having fewer of them going together?
Well, we don't talk directly to what size the general officer corps should be in the future, because we don't actually in this report get into how big the military is going to be. That's a great question mark right now. But the general officer corps and the Navy admirals out there should be sized proportionally to how big the force is. I know when during the Cold War in the Army, for example, the Army at the end of the Cold War came down about 40% in troops, and it only came down about 25% in generals. We could see something similar happening here in the future as the military gets smaller. The worry I have, though, is that our selection process to pick the right people may not have enough fidelity to actually pick the right people for this smaller size general officer corps. And we do talk to the importance of how we do that selection and extending evaluations and expectation setting in writing for the most senior generals, where it doesn't exist in most cases today at all at the 3- and 4-star level.
So what happens today and how would you change it?
Well, I think in terms of the selection process, what we would recommend is that there's a very, very solid and very effective and very structured selection process from essentially second lieutenant all the way up to 2-star general. At that point in time, it goes back and changes fairly dramatically. And one of the things that does go away that we think needs to change is there's no written fitness reports or evaluation reports for 3- and 4-star generals. So there's no in writing opportunity to hold those officers accountable for what they've done and actually to set in writing some specific expectations of what their goals and objectives are. That's a complete reversal from what we saw in the corporate sector, where evaluations and expectation setting and holding people accountable for their performance very precisely is the norm in the best companies out there in America. That's not the case out there, surprisingly, in the senior levels of the military today.
All right. Retired Lieutenant General Dave Barno is the lead author of Building Better Generals. And thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Emily. Enjoyed it.